Sky Sports Radio loves talking racing. The people, the jockeys, the horses. Time now for Punter's Postmortem. Analysis of the weekend's racing, plus your calls. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of Punter's Postmortem. It is a Tuesday due to yesterday's public holiday, and this morning we welcome our A-team back together again. It's fantastic as we really rev it up this week, the Spring Champion and all the other feature racing, counting down to the Everest and beyond, because Dean Lester is back with us this morning. He'll be joining us in a few minutes on the program. We welcome in, though, Ron Duffersey. And Duff, as I say, good morning. Saturday just seems an eternity ago now.
Yeah, but it's still in the memory, Andrew. It was a fantastic day's racing. Chris Wallace had a day out there, but just the competition on track was something outstanding. I really enjoyed the day, and we move on. There's no stopping. Like we say, $1 million-plus races every week now, all the way through to the end of November.
What about the win of Colding Duff? Just before we welcome in Glenn and Dean, you know, who knows where it could head? It could be the Golden Eagle, big chance.
Yeah, it's shaping up that race, isn't it? Look, I thought he was outstanding. I thought at the 300 on straightening there that there was no betting Tiakau Shark was going to come with that customary big finish, and that he did. But when Colding saw him out the corner of his eye, Tiakau Shark didn't weaken. It was Colding lifting, and it was a terrific, terrific performance, and a horse beautifully placed beating the handicapper.
Glenn Munsey's with us as normal. Morning to you, Glenn.
Morning, Andrew. Morning, Ronnie, and good morning to Dino when he comes on. Yeah, there's no rest for the wicked, is there? We had Saturday, we had yesterday. There's only about 739,000 trials on this morning as well.
Yes.
We've got Warwick Farm, we've got Durman, we've got Gosford. We saw Redzel go round in the trial at Gosford. I thought Bobbing, when he's getting a little bit better every time you see him step out, Bobbing getting ready for the Kosciuszko there. But in her time, we got to see Behemoth. He's down to, well, he nominated for Saturday.
He'll be running.
Had a very, very easy morning out there at Gosford this morning. A little bit later, we'll see for Seeker that's getting ready for Saturday. So it just doesn't stop here. And the only good thing about it, Ronnie, if you put your faith in the weather department, you know you're going to do the form for a wet track this Saturday anyway.
Yeah, I've already started. I've done three or four races on heavy, to tell you the truth. I know it's naysaying it's going to be raining, but they're saying plenty of rain this weekend, even on Saturday. Friday, Saturday are the bad days, which is not going to help. But hopefully we get it all out of our system before the Everest.
Yeah, if we're going to cop it, we'd prefer it this week, wouldn't we? What are we getting? Friday 10 to 15, Saturday 15 to 30 is what the Bureau's saying. But anyway, we'll wait and see what happens. He's been off our Punter's Postmortem program for a while because of ill health. But the good news is he's been back with us on Saturdays, and now he's back with us on a Punter's Postmortem for the spring. Dean Lester, welcome back, mate.
Thank you very much, Andrew. Good to be back.
What a thrill, Saturday racing down there in Melbourne, and for us and everything else that's going on, it's really upbeat, and we can't wait for the fields to come out today, really, isn't it, for the Caulfield 1000 Guineas and the Scalacci Stakes.
Yeah, it's fantastic, Andrew, and the two states having feature racing week in, week out. Just think, for the punters, like every 15 or 20 minutes they're going to have a feature race. It's tremendous.
It is Kingswell Dream, Dean. It's been a remarkable story from that pelvis injury last year.
Yeah, I've got to say, Andrew, I didn't know if he'd make it back to the track at all, let alone win a Group 1 like he did on Saturday. And for a young man that I've had a fair bit to do with, Jai McNeil, it was a fantastic day for him, his first Group 1 winner. And he gave the horse the perfect ride, and he was able to win, I think, the story of the race, well, there are a few stories, but I think Finch is just building to, like a real, you know, Melbourne Cup winner to my eye. He's in different style, but he's got a similar profile to, of course, like Fiorente, and he's just ticking over beautifully.
Well, that just answered my question. I was going to say Finch, Surprise Baby, or Vow and Declare. What was the best Melbourne Cup trial? But did you just answer it then?
Yeah, I think so. The other two, very good. Vow and Declare is just getting better with every run, and this side, Declaration of War, he might be the the staying sire we're looking for, because there's a few nice ones. We saw Warning win the Superimpose on Saturday, not promising three-year-old, and this Vow and Declare was terrific. And Surprise Baby's very good, and he's a legitimate chance. I just love that Finch has, had that that look around last season, and he just seems to me a more rounded horse this year.
Have you seen the Rise Duff, just watching him race in Sydney under Chris Waller?
No, he's just taken his time with him, hasn't he? He's waited a year. He's, from his first up run, he wasn't entitled to do what he did. And he's just a stayer that can race on the speed, and he's strong. He's just ticking every box as far as race style is concerned, and we know he can stick it out, because we saw him last year run a really good race, but he could well be a much better horse this year.
And the market really reacted to Finch on Saturday, Glenn, with these races in Melbourne.
Oh, well, he hasn't been that far away, Andrew, in the markets. When you consider, we had a look at him last year. He went, first run in Australia was in the Geelong Cup. His next run was in the Melbourne Cup, where he ran such the good race there. So it's not as if he was sort of priced on spec or whatever like that. He was there priced on what he did last year. So he's always been, high up in the markets for, every race that he was nominated for. Like, he's an $8 favourite for the Caulfield Cup at the moment. And once I bring the Melbourne Cup up there, he's probably right at the top of that as well. And as I scroll down to it, he's $9.
He's joint favourite.
Yeah, $9 joint favourite. Favourite there. Well, what about Surprise Baby? We spoke on Saturday morning about Surprise Baby, because he missed out by, a pixel in the Andrew Ramsden to get an automatic entry for the Melbourne Cup. There was a little bit of drama regarding, that, and there was money for him. Months ago, when there was a little bit of drama regarding that Andrew Ramsden. And then on Friday, there was a bet of $10,000 to $26 to win the Melbourne Cup. And the connections were actually being interviewed on radio in Melbourne. And they said, yeah, that's us, because he'll be evens tomorrow. He'll win tomorrow. He'll get straight in the cup, and then he'll be a much, much shorter price. Bang, crash, wallop. It happens. And now he's a $9 equal favourite for the Melbourne Cup, and he's in.
What do you think of Surprise Baby, Dean?
Oh, he's a really good horse, Andrew, and I love the difference in preparation for Pruska, knowing his horse, just second up straight to the 2500, got the job done, and now might go straight to the Melbourne Cup, and why not? He is a very good talent, and any of those three that Duff mentioned that ran in at Flemington probably represent the best locally trained chances, and they're all within 40 minutes of each other.
Is Supernova any chance of getting his way into this cup?
Oh, there's a bloke on Twitter that was tweeting about him about 3 weeks ago. I bet he's hoping he gets on there.
125-1.
Yeah, there's nothing better than self-interest, is there, Ronnie?
Just give him a slot.
Well, the lightly raced day, like from Team Hawks, like Lucky Day, they weren't afraid to qualify him through the Lexus 3 days out. So that's his opportunity.
All right, let's just focus in on the sprint, because we're obviously building up to the Everest on Saturday week. Let's go back to Saturday, Duff, with the premiere. We know that James Harron, Godolphin, Chris Waller, we know that the Scalacci winner gets an automatic start through their slot from Saturday at Caulfield. But what are you thinking around Brutal? Does it deserve to get a slot off what we saw on the weekend?
Well, he deserves it. He's earned it. The race he won is a legitimate lead-up race. He was first up. You'd expect improvement. Just a matter of, if they want to lay all their, cards on the table in the Everest, or keep their eye on the prize. Is it just a tick-over run for the Eagle for him, the Everest? I don't know. Is he still going to sprint as well as he did at 1,200 second up as he did first up? He is a mile winner of a Doncaster Mile. You can't deny he's one classy horse. To do what he did there on Saturday, and he beat him up. He beat him up, and the market knew he'd beat him up too. He stayed very solid all the way through.
What did you take out of Classique Legend?
I thought at face value, when I was deflated after the race, thinking, he should have beat them. And then he's run the best last 600 of the day, the only horse to break 34. I'm not going to say he wasn't ridden to his strength. I don't know whether he just lost a bit of dash out of the barrier there, and Brutal beat him to the punch. But after weighing everything up, he gets a pass mark.
Okay. Glenn, what were your opinions there?
Well, I think that, you know, the first shock of the race was where actually Classic Legend finished in the run. You knew Osborne Bulls would be back. You knew Home of the Brave would be forward. You knew Graff would be back. So it was a matter of whether Brutal had the dash first up. And you thought Classic Legend had a little bit more dash and the fact that it was drawn outside him. But there didn't seem to be that urgency there in the first, 75 metres or whatever. And it just changed the complexion of the race. And, you know, as Ronnie said, on face value, you said, you know, when they straightened up, Classic Legend, he peeled out and you'd think he'd sort of dash. But he just sort of battled more than anything else. And then you look at the times and you say, well, he did really dash. It was just deceptive.
Yep. Yeah, understand. Watching it, Dean, from a distance, but what were your thoughts out of it going forward?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a small field, so it was a tactical race, Andrew, but the pedestrian nature of the first 400 probably gave Brutal a chance to put himself in a spot where he could then use his strength and toughness, and that's exactly what he did. And he's a very good horse, and I wouldn't be selling him short if he got an Everest, because it'd be a different scenario again with a horse like Sunlight going with Red Zell and maybe a couple of others. He could use his strength in a different way.
Understand. Well, let's talk about Red Zell, because this morning it's had a barrier trial at Gosford with the blinkers on, jumped to the lead, and, well, appeared to do it quite easily down the straight. We've been able to grab Peter Snowden for a few minutes. Morning to you, Pete.
Morning, Andrew.
We've got Duff and Dean Lester and Glenn Munsey all with us as well. Made a lot of interest anywhere these horses step out. How's he come through, Red Zell?
Yeah, great. Really good. Perfect trial. Nice little blow. Well, actually, it didn't blow at all, really. We asked him to do a little bit of work. We did it very comfortably, and he put up terrific. So tells us he's on song anyway. So a couple of weeks to go.
Yeah, it tells us that you're happy with him, Pete, because you put the blinkers on him. You want him to do a bit of work, so he's doing well at home.
Yeah, he's doing really well. No, I'm happy with him. And you know, yourself, Ronnie, it's all right to have him fresh, but you still got to have him. Have him right on the mark, and with this horse, this has been a good scenario. We've used a few times, and it seems to work well for us. And I'm just looking at the horse now, too. That middle-aged bred he had, it's gone now, and he's come up to where he should be, and his weight's right. And but the horse is, more importantly, he's feeling really well. So fingers crossed.
Pete,
Sorry, Dean. Yep, go.
I was just going to say, Peter, was the trip away just to have a day out as important as the actual gallop itself, just to get his adrenaline going?
Absolutely, yeah. No, although he's very, very laid back, no matter where he goes, it's still that bit of a sweat on the truck, and all that helps, and a bit more adrenaline in him, and just a race day like experience. It's worth probably three gallops to you, so it's done its job this morning.
Pete, the day and age of a horse trainer in these times. I don't know how you possibly do it. The staff must do an incredible job. You've got horses trialling at Warwick Farm. You've got horses trialling at Gosford. You've got horses in Melbourne getting ready for races there. You've got your normal track work at Randwick. It must be a military-style operation, but the staff must be just incredible.
My word, you couldn't do this job without the people that you have around you, and everyone's got their job to do, and you're relying on everyone else to do their job. And as you say, yeah, that's exactly right this morning. We've had important gallops in Flemington this morning, and acceptances today as well, which is a day different to normal, so you'll have your men on the ball there that don't miss nothing. And we have trials at Warwick Farm and Gosford, and as you say, normal track work at Randwick as well. So it's been a busy morning. My ear's growing another three sizes from this phone stuck to it, but there's something you've got to have to be across everything. But it's you're dead right, you couldn't do your job without good staff.
Did you have a chance to keep an eye on the way Land of Plenty hit the line in his trial?
Yeah, geez, fingers crossed. So hopefully we've got the key to him now, and seems to be working really well with him. I was just worried about that race on Saturday. It was the wrong race for him, and the track being dull, it just couldn't afford a colt to have a run that's not up to scratch. And so I just took the option, and I was thankful the stewards let me scratch him and gave him a nice trial today. But he was very good this morning. Hippo rode him. He gave a great report. He just feels very good now. Hopefully we've got him back to where he used to be, hopefully. But his next date will be in Melbourne.
Okay. And you're happy
I was just going to ask about McLaren. It seemed to trial really well up there this morning, Pete.
Yeah, the throat surgery's really done him the world of good. He's a more relaxed horse now. He's using himself better. He's breathing better. And he's just a very, very talented horse that last time in... when we did a dynamic scope on him, a normal rest scope, he wasn't bad. The dynamic scope, when we did a gallop on him, they said he's getting enough air would be similar to him trying to breathe through a straw. So he was getting 10% oxygen in his, at the end of his gallops and races last time through. So with a tyre back now, he's getting 85% air in. So it's made a difference to him, to his work and the way he's going at the moment.
And all is all going well with a Cosmic Force going into the Roman Consul?
Yeah, Timmy Clark went and rode him this morning. He's riding him Saturday. He's quite impressed with the horse. He did work very, very well. So that run's brought him right on. Now, you might see a different horse on Saturday with the benefit of that run. He's a colt, and he's not a heavy, gross horse, but he still is a colt that needs work, and that race certainly brought him on the other day.
And talking about Redzel's middle-aged spread, if I come and spend a week with you, you reckon you can do anything with mine?
I keep looking down at mine. I've got a bit of work to do myself.
I know. Duff and I have got you covered, and Munsey looking at him on Saturday. He's starting to launch into it a bit too. We all need a decent run, Pete.
Yeah, no, it's something we all got to be careful of and watch, and exercise is the best form of therapy.
Have you got rid of the moon boot yet?
Yeah, thank God it's off. I still got to be careful, though. It's still not right, but I'm glad to get rid of it. But
what happened there, Pete?
I rolled my ankle. And first time I had a stress fracture. First, originally, it got right, and I had the boot on, wore that, and it came right. And I took it off, and a month later, I rolled it again, and this time I tore the ligaments off the back of the joint. That's probably the worst one, but I'm getting around fine. It keeps following me around anyway, and I can get to work, and I can drive the car, so I'm happy.
All right, well, thanks for sparing us a few minutes, mate. We just wanted to cover off, particularly on Redzel. We can't wait for Saturday week. Thanks for your time, mate.
Welcome, guys. Cheers, thanks.
Peter Snowden there joining us from the Gosford trial. So in her time, Duff, just trial behind Redzel, seemed to go to the line under no pressure at all.
Yeah, it was nice. No, she's ticking along. We know the theory with her that she's won 5 from 7 first up, and that's the plan that they're attacking going into the race, and Redzel was fine.
I want to ask each of you, Bivouac, Brutal or Elise? If you were going to choose one of those, which one would you choose to run in the Everest, Duff?
Bivouac.
Dean?
Yeah, I'd probably go with the three-year-old. Just.
Yeah. With Bivouac?
Yeah, Bivouac, just from Brutal.
Brutal, okay. And what about you, Glenn?
Well, seeing they're picking Bivouac, I'm going Elise because that's more speed in the race. So it's all depending on, you know, what you finish with the field and trying to work out the pattern of the race.
Yeah, yeah. We're waiting to see. The fields for Caulfield are coming out. They should be out any tick of the clock. Now, we're trying to get those because a decision was pending this morning on a nature strip. On the course proper at Flemington. Have you heard anything, Dean?
No, I haven't, Andrew. No.
No. Yeah, it's.
Conflicting stories because, you know, Rod Lyons was quoted yesterday as saying Chris told him his next start was the Manicato.
Yeah. So I will say yesterday morning with Charlie Duckworth, he was very doubtful on the horse running Saturday simply down because if the horse got a slot in the Everest, they wouldn't want to back him up. So anyway, we're on the chase as soon as we get news on what they've done with Nature Strip. But certainly the horse worked on the course proper at Flemington this morning. Warren Huntley saw it, and we'll just wait and see what they do around the Scalacci. We better get through Saturday. Tiarco Shark runs second, Duff. Heads off to Melbourne. It will be interesting to see which way they want to go there.
Yeah, they'll probably have a few options, and the Cox Plate would be one of them. I think they're going to make their mind up in the next 24, 48 hours as well, what they're doing with Tiarco Shark. But he's in top form. He's only, you know, he's still at the right stage of his preparation to even find another length. So, he'll be at a lot of interest if they decide to run him in a Cox Plate or probably, you know, the mile maybe. I don't know what their thinking is.
Have they shown their hand a little bit by saying no Melody Bell Cox Plate?
Yeah, they may have. They may have. So the indications are that you might see a Cox Plate, see him in the Cox Plate, but I suppose we can wait 48 hours to find out.
Star of the Seas looks to be a really nice up-and-coming horse here.
He's flying. He's had no luck at his first two runs back. He was good on Saturday. I think that's as he just gets the mile. He just gets the mile, I reckon. I know he's won at it, he's more lethal to me at 1,400. But a mile at that level, that's him. He ran third, three or four lengths off those top-class horses.
Yep. Dean, from your point of view, what came out of the Epsom?
Oh, I just wanted to see Tiaka Shark at that sort of level and that sort of pressure, and he passed really well, and it's a year, you know, that I'd be having a go at the Cox Plate. So we've seen horses off the Epsom that have been strong through the line. A horse like Pinker Pinker came through and won a Cox Plate, and I thought his run was worthy of having a go at it anyway.
Okay, now we'll wait and see. Yes, and I can now say that Tiaka Shark is going to the Cox Plate. David Ellis has just texted me and he said it's okay to report it, so that was what I was waiting for. So, guys, there's the news from David Ellis. Tiaka Shark goes to the Cox Plate.
Yeah, where he's an $11 chance at the moment. Avilius and Lee's Groschot, 5 a pair. Mystic Journey, 7. Holmesman, 8. Dancer Tira and Tiaka Shark, both $11 chances. And then Dala San and Kingswood Dream at 15.
What price, Flit? Okay.
For you, Ronnie, now 17.
Oh, it's tightened right up. Yeah, it's tightened right up.
When we said Saturday morning, Ronnie, was it 26?
Yes.
26,
and I think Tiaka Shark might have been 51.
He was. Yeah.
So that's two interesting moves. Well, you know, they're interesting because, well, Flit's still question mark, but Tiaka Shark now definite. That's why he's firming up.
Oh, I think Flit would have to bolt in on, you know, the 1,000 guineas, and then they make, well, James didn't say no, did he?
No, he was. In fact, he was trying not to say that stuff. But the more he got, I just read it that it was certainly an option. The way his points on air were.
It was a very diplomatic answer to not say no.
Yeah.
That's right.
It was a very measured answer not to say no.
Yeah, it was, and that's the markets reacted to that. Dali, Flight Stakes, Funstar, Probabil, but gee, Funstar, she could be anything, Duff.
She could be. She was a gift, but she capitalised on the gift. It was the total opposite to last time, where she was the one that over-raced and Probabil settled. And this time, Funstar settled and Probabil just wanted to lock the jaw and open her mouth. They very slowly run race, but she's all class. She'll probably go for a break now, and she's an exciting filly.
Yeah, they wouldn't be tempted by anything getting to a mile already. Do you think they'll go for a spell?
I think they will, because Chris is a pattern man, as Dino looks at all the patterns, and he keeps saying Winx did this, Funstar, they're similar sort of programs. And I know Winx was beaten in the Flight Stakes, but she went for a spell straight after it and was looked after, and I'm just looking at the patterns, that's all.
What would you do, Dean?
Oh, I think she's done a great job, Andrew. I thought a couple of runs back she was sort of looking a little bit lean, and she's done, they've done a great job to get her through, and just fascinates me that it continues to compare her like to the Winx program. Not that she's got the Winx talent this stage, but she's better performed already at this stage, so she's doing a mighty job.
Yeah, and Probabil, I wonder what they'll do there. We'll wait and see. The two-year-old races, Ron, Every Rose winning the first, scooting around the bend, and gee, well, I'll go to you, Glenn, because I couldn't believe what price it got out to in the gym crack.
No, it was funny, Andrew. Well, in the morning, well, we put a market up first thing on Monday morning. We put it up $3.50. Wednesday, that was an all-in market. Wednesday in the final field market, it was a $3 chance. It actually firmed early doors on Saturday morning. It was $2.90 into $2.70. Actually got into as short as $2.60. And then, basically, from the moment they left the enclosure, it was a race to get it out. And I think it jumped $4.80 with us, and we weren't top odds by any stretch of the imagination. And it was, you know, well, nearly all over Red Rover when they hit the ground. She just did exactly what she, you know, you knew she was going to do. She was hit the ground and go, and she just kept going.
She was scooting around the bend, Duff. I watched it actually from around the 300 and was travelling when Every Rose passed me.
Look, just one of those beautifully educated running two-year-olds that capitalise on early wins. Where the colts, I think, had more quality and class. They're beautiful colts, those horses we saw in the breeders, believe me. And the Global Quest, Postcode, and Baylix is going to make a really, really good horse in time. Advantage colts out of the two races for sure.
Run on a soft track, obviously, with the rain that we had Saturday morning. Baylix was there and just couldn't quite quicken.
Yeah, he drew the wider draw and probably had to make an earlier move, but beaten but far from disgraced. He'll come on from that, and whether he's going to do it this prep, next prep, or as a three-year-old, mark him down as a future black type horse.
Did you watch those races, Dean, those opening two-year-olds?
Yes, I did, Andrew. I loved the determination of Global Quest when the run came, and just as Duff said, looking at them in the yard, just some cracking-looking horses, and I'd be very interested to see. We know how good the breeder's plate can be as a guide, and maybe this year no exception.
And just on two-year-olds, before we take the sports break, what about Mildred down there in the Maribyrnong Trial Stakes for Graham Begg?
Yeah, it's been a great window of opportunity when they put that race on 10 days before the Maribyrnong trial. I think it caught a few by surprise, and she got that win and got a bonus win on Saturday. And it was, I think the one to beat was the Tony McAvoy horse, and it was scratched at the barriers, so it made Mildred's task a lot easier, and she was able to win again. But she's a speedy filly. She's absolutely built for the early two-year-old races and got the money.
All right, we're going to take a sports break with Jono. Then we're inviting your calls. It's been a bit different because we've had the long weekend and everything, but we certainly appreciate your calls. 1353 53. We'll go through Flemington a bit more with Dean Lester as well, we'll take your calls. So you're quite welcome to ring us now. 1353 53 for the Tuesday edition of Punters Postmortem. Jono Farr's in with the latest in sports news. Morning, mate.
Yeah, morning, Hoss. The NRL, it's backing Ben Cummins and says he's still the best referee in the league after his controversial call in the grand final. Fans are not happy with the result, and former players and commentators have made their opinions very clear on the issue on various social media platforms. Wallabies back rower David Pocock says the Wallabies aren't thinking too far ahead, with the focus solely on winning their final pool match. They play Georgia on Friday. Day one of the AFL trade period failed to produce any headline moments, but today promises to be more eventful as a trio of big-name forwards dominate discussions. Jamie Elliott is expected to commit to Collingwood, and Carlton is hoping to secure Tom Papley from Sydney, despite the Swans' earlier indication he wasn't on the table. And in cricket news, records were equaled, hoodoos broken and milestones reached, as Rachel Haynes posted a maiden international century, and Australia won a 17th straight one-day international clash to clinch the series against Sri Lanka. That's the latest news in sport on Sky Sports Radio, your home to the Sydney Spring Carnival.
Sky Sports Radio can be taken anywhere, anytime. Crystal clear. Sky Sports Radio is available through the Tab app plus the Radio Industries radio app. Whether you're at home, work, the races or travelling, make sure Sky Sports Radio is a part of your racing day.
Watch them fly before you buy at the Magic Millions Gold Coast 2-year-olds in training sale October 14 and 15. See the youngsters gallop before bidding and get a head start to the winner's stall. Recent graduates of the sale include Australian Carnival stars Ty Zone and Victorum, as well as Singapore sensation Top Knight. With over 270 lots, it's the biggest and best catalogue for 2-year-olds in Australia. For more info, visit magicmillions.com.au. Magic Millions 2-year-olds in training sale October 14 and 15 on the Gold Coast.
My name's Colin and I'm from Victoria. If you need a loan to help your business quickly, call OnDeck. I found it a very quick and simple process with very quick results. They've been great over the past year, helping me through a sticky time when the bank said no.
If, like Colin, you need money for your business and fast, apply with OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. You'll know if you're approved in as quickly as 2 hours, and it's possible to get funding the same business day. Visit ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
You're listening to Sky Sports Radio and Punters Postmortem.
It is, and it's a Tuesday edition with the public holiday yesterday. Now, the Caulfield fields for the Caulfield Guineas, Thousand Guineas and Scalacci Stakes will be out shortly, but Charlie Duckworth from the Chris Wallace Stable has just let me know, guys and listeners, that Nature Strip is not running on Saturday. So the horses worked at Flemington this morning, but will not be running on Saturday. Duff, and that follows through what Charlie told us on air yesterday, that if it does get a slot, then they didn't want to do the backup.
Yeah, well, Do they know if he's got a slot? They've got one to give him.
Yeah.
They want to give him one, they can give him. Well, I suppose it's a team decision there. But I'm more interested in what happens if something wins the Scalacci that doesn't want to back up into the Everest. What happens then?
Okay, well, we'll try and dig into that. I'm trying to get the fields, and if we can get the fields with Josh Rotter, then we can pose the question to him. So we'll wait and see what unfolds here the next 25 minutes or so. 13:53:53, and Tony's our first caller. Morning, Tony.
All right, boys.
Good to talk to you, mate. What's up?
I just wanted to get your opinion on Rock's run on the weekend. Usually comes from behind and looks like it's led and...
Well, he didn't lead on Saturday. He came from a long way back. Similar colours, Dreamforce up front. But, yeah, he got back. He was a big test for him, and I thought he passed it pretty well. He ran a nice fifth there, and you know, he's that was his first taste at that sort of level. So he's done a terrific job this prep, and he's got a big future.
All right.
Happy with that, mate? Boy. Yeah.
Yeah, mate.
Yeah, yeah. So the horse that you thought was leading was in fact off the pace. It was Dreamforce that led them up, Tony. Okay, I think he might have gone. That line's a bit dicey there. So I hope that's answered the response there for Tony. Dreamforce just had to work too hard there from a wide barrier, Duff.
He just raced a little bit flat, didn't he? Although, you know, the horse in touch with him did win the race there, Colding. So he was always on his back. So. I think I'm not so sure. Yeah, it's not in his makeup to drop off late like that, but he's too good a horse to just knock off one run.
Understand. I think they're going to the Schweppes Crystal Mile on Cox Plate Day at Moonee Valley if the horses come through it okay. Dean Lester's with us, obviously, back for Putters Postmortem. Dean, they back warning to win the Superimpose, and they've tightened it right up in... the markets for the Derby.
Well, he looks a nice style of horse for the Derby, Andrew, and timing's pretty well right. He looks to have a lot of improvement in him, looking at him pre-race. He's a big character, but still with plenty of condition on him. So he gets to the Derby, I think, and it was a good win on Saturday. He used the draw well. The blinkers helped him a lot. He'd be the one going forward out of that race that I'd probably want to be a part of. A few of those horses... You always see it in that race. They just either really train on or they start to fall apart. And he was one that had trained on, whereas probably the Murray Baker, Andrew Forsman horse, Long Jack, he sweated up really badly and things went wrong for him. And Adelaide Ace, Lindsay Smith, put out a tweet saying he's shin sore and he's going to the paddock. So a couple, probably one definitely by the wayside and one didn't have a really good day at the race on Saturday, whereas Warning seems to be hitting the mark at the right time.
What did you make of another one by declaration of war?
Yeah, exactly.
And what did you make of the sprinters, the Tab Everest horses, Sunlight and Santa Ana Lane?
Santa was very, very good. Sunlight, that's what she does. She can control a race down the straight. She can handle pressure, so she's going to be up on the speed with Redzel and an Everest, but... Santa had plenty of condition on him, and 2 weeks' time with a trip up to Sydney, he'll be pretty close to his best. I think if he gets the right sort of conditions, he's right on track to win another big race.
And how did the market react in, around the Everest? Well, I know we're going back to the Everest here, Glenn, but with these horses that all ran Sydney and Melbourne, did it change much?
Well, Santa Ana Lane came back in, Andrew, the fact, you know, the old... out of sight, out of mind sort of situation, and he hadn't had the run, Santa, and he lost favouritism to Pirata, but he's back equal favourite with Pirata now at $5. Acadia Queen's there at $6. Redzel's at $7. Then you've got Bivouac Brutal, Classique Legend and Sunlight all at $9. She firmed. Sunlight, Classique Legend drifted. They're all $9. Elise $13, and then a stack of them at $15. In Her Time, Nature Strip, Osborne Bulls drifted. 10 sovereigns and yes, all $15 exceedance. And I think you'll find he's not even running on the weekend exceedance. I think he might be rested till the Coolmore.
Yep.
Trekking, Trope, 26 and $51 and longer the rest of them. So the major talking points out of Saturday was Santa Ana Lane firmed, Classique Legend drifted, Osborne Bulls drifted and Sunlight firmed up.
Righto, let's continue to take your calls. 13:53:53 for Punters Postmortem. The A-team are back here. Duff, Lester and Munsey all together on a Tuesday morning. And Wayne's our next caller. Morning to you, Wayne.
G'day, boys.
What's Ronnie, up, Wayne?
Ronnie, where would Natoya go? Because her run was a cracker on Saturday.
Well, I think she'll back up on Saturday. So I see she's in a very suitable race there Saturday, the Angst. So it's a mile. The last time she backed up in her career, she won at Randwick. So I reckon she's backed up once and she's won on a wet track a mile at Randwick. So I would suggest if she runs the Angst as a set weights and penalties race for mares, and it just looks a, well, it just looks a perfect race for her, to tell you the truth.
Just ideal.
Yeah, it's a perfect race for her.
And yeah, Bossy's on it.
Her run was terrific on Saturday, I thought, anyway.
Her last two have been good, but that's her. She can pull out them big runs in big races. She doesn't win many, but now if she finds a race like this on Saturday, like she looks beautifully placed.
And the other thing is, I think I found a new Tom Melbourne, Osborne Bulls.
Yeah, well, he's had that tag for a while, Osborne, but he had excuses that day. Although I did read a report that James says he pulled up all right on Sundays. But when the vets say 3 out of 5 lame, I get a little bit nervous. I can just push 1 out of 5 lame in the corner, 2 out of 5 okay. But when they say 3, you think that there is a problem.
Yeah, for sure.
Or was a problem.
We're trying to find that out. I've been trying since yesterday afternoon, but we'll wait and see when they release. Racing New South Wales vet was going to inspect it, I think, Ronzo.
Okay.
So we'll wait and see on that. Wayne, Natoya does run this week in the Angst, and the Group 1 jock Glenn Boss takes the ride this week. And Wayne's gone.
Yeah, she's just up on 3 times in a life, Natoya. She went from running 4th in the Guy Walter on the 3rd of March 2018 for a week later to run 3rd in the Aspiration Quality.
Yep.
Then it was...
I'm sure she backed up to win that mile at Randwick.
Yeah, the Aspiration the next year. She ran 8th in the Guy Walter the following year and backed up a week later to win the Aspiration.
Yep.
And the only other time she's backed up in the week, she ran 5th in the Randvet. Backed up a week later and ran 8th in a field of 12 in the Tankard.
Not bad races, but...
And given that the prospect of rain, Duff, it really does bring Natoya in, doesn't it?
Yeah, look, she's going to be very likeable in a race like that. And I think Noir's very well placed in a race like that as well, to tell you the truth. She sets up, she went 1,200 to 1,500 now to a mile third up. They're the two that jump out the page at me in that race, although Emin Geary, although she's only a 76 rater, she's probably better placed in the benchmark race. I sort of did a bit of form for those races on Saturday, and Noir and Natoya dead set stood out there.
Okay. Let's go to Roscoe on Punters Post. Morning to you, mate.
G'day, how you going, boys?
Excellent.
First of all, I want to welcome back Dino. We've missed him on the radio up here.
Thanks, Roscoe.
Question for the panel: the GPS tracking in New South Wales on the horses, I reckon it's a fantastic innovation, and I'm wondering if there's any plans of rolling it out nationally.
It's all about money, I suppose. They're just chips in the saddlecloths, and then you've got to have these towers put in or something that costs. I did ask you the question about that, and eventually they will be. But it's not a quick process because you've got to build these towers to take the information from the chips. I'm not all into this stuff, but eventually we will.
Yeah.
I don't know how long eventually is though.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You can see a horse start to make its run, you know, and you think, oh, 3 wide, oh, it's 4 wide, you know, is it getting a trial? Etc. It's a fantastic innovation.
And Roscoe, when you can, if you're watching it on TV and you look up, you can see whether they're going quick or going slow. It's an immediate sort of analysis, isn't it?
Yeah. If they're running 13 to the furlong or something, or 200 metres, you know, they're really pulling up in front. Yeah. The other question was, there was a bad fall yesterday at Doomben, and I was wondering if anyone knew the outcome of the jockeys.
Yeah, well, Carl has, this is through Stephen Hewlett in Brisbane. Michael Carl texted Stephen not too long ago, and I'll go back to it. He said he's a bit sore Jake Bayliss is okay. He went to hospital complaining of an arm injury, but he's okay. And Tegan, well, the reports last night, she's broken 5 vertebrae, a sternum, and some ribs as well.
That's nasty.
And Jake Bayliss has been discharged from hospital. No broken bones, mildly concussed. Will need to undergo a concussion test before riding. Likely be back in the saddle later this week. That's according to his manager. Michael Carl, pretty sore in both knees and a little soreness in my neck. Otherwise, okay. I was lucky. And that's a quote directly from Michael to Stephen. And that report on Tegan was from Benny and Jake Hull last night while she was still in hospital. And there's been no updates this morning.
Okay.
It was a nasty one, though. It was one that we sort of all held our breath, I think, the ones that were watching it, Roscoe.
Yeah.
All right,
boys. Thank
anyway,
you.
Good on you, mate. Take it easy.
Okay.
Righto. Those fields for Caulfield are available, Duff. Do you want to get Josh Rotter on?
Oh, yeah, why not? It's a very couple of important races, Andrew. I'd like to know the makeup of the field, if we've got a full field in the Caulfield Guineas and whatever.
All right, so Josh is available. Tanya, if you want to give him a quick call, we'll get him on and go through them. Just going back to the Turnbull on Saturday with Dean Lester, we've mentioned Kingswell Dream and Finch, but what about Hartnell as a 9-year-old? He just keeps putting himself in these races, Dean.
He does, Andrew. He's going really well. I don't know what race he's going to win. He's probably going to go back to the handicap of the Kennedy Mile and try and do like he did in the spring of last year, win a handicap at the top of the weights. But he ran very well. He was in the right spot and battled on really well.
What about Mystic Journey, Dina? Lots of talk about her.
Yeah, stepped a bit awkward, Duff. They were going to be back anyway. I think they've gone very, very quietly with her. They've been three and 4 weeks between runs, and they're just, I think building towards one race. And I think it's worth having a go at the Cox Plate. And I think she'd need to draw low and be in a fairly prominent spot to help her run the trip. But she ran okay, but if you're back there, you're out of play a long way out. But the disappointment was Mr. Quickie. I know they're making excuses for him getting out wide on the track, but
no,
he just didn't have that dash. And I just wonder if he put a lot into that first up run and really flattened out second up.
I agree.
So they've come out and basically said straight to the Caulfield Cup with Mr. Quickie. But it was interesting, Adam Trinder sort of made contact Sunday, and he said, Dean, that we'll make an announcement like today, Tuesday. I just thought it would have been straight to the Cox Plate.
Yeah, look, I still think it probably will be, Andrew. To be honest, that Golden Eagle's coming up a mighty strong race, and I just think it's probably the logical choice to have a go at the Cox Plate. She's got around Moonee Valley really well, which is something that other horses have still got to probably achieve, and I think they've only given her the 3 runs this time in, so they've left plenty of petrol in the tank for the upcoming week.
Have you got an early thought on the Cox Plate?
I think if Kurt's horse, Les Grazier, turns up in the form that she's shown in Japan, she'll be very hard to beat.
Yeah.
Kurt did tell us to bank for the Corvette Cup, so he got that part wrong.
Will we get Kurt this morning? That's the big question.
He's 10 minutes off ringing because it's 9 minutes to 10.
Please be 10 minutes away.
Yeah, it'd be 10
now. He might ring late and we can't put him to web.
Again, Andrew, an update courtesy of Stephen Hewlett. Tegan Harrison, this is from Benny Hull. She's fractured 5 vertebrae from the T3 to the T8, but doesn't need surgery. Fractured 2 ribs, her sternum, and refractured a collarbone. She will not need surgery for any of these. She'll be out between 8 to 12 weeks. So
righto,
thank you, Stephen,
thanks,
for that
Steve.
Message there.
Yeah. Righto, thanks, mate. Let's get Josh Rotter. He's online from the Melbourne Racing Club at Caulfield. Morning to you, Josh.
Good morning, Andrew. Good morning to all the Sky Sports Radio listeners. This is the time of year we peak. Grand final week for the Melbourne Racing Club, and we're really looking forward to the barrier draws this morning at 11 a.m. The Schweppes 1000 Guineas, the Ladbrokes Caulfield Guineas, and the Alfa Romeo Scalacci Stakes.
Right, we're on Putters Post Mortem because we had the public holiday up here yesterday, Josh. So okay. we've got Dean Lester, we've got Ron Duffersey and Glenn Munsey online as well. Josh, just a question that Dove posed earlier. If the winner of the Scalacci doesn't want to run in the Everest, is there a backup plan?
Yeah, so all the details are on our... good morning, gentlemen. All the details are on our website, the mrc.racing.com website. So it'll just go to the second horse, third horse, and so on until we have a runner that wants to take the spot. Duff?
Beauty. That explains it. That explains it.
Okay.
So I might read the field for that now, Duff, and you can give me your first thoughts on who may get this spot.
Yep.
So the Alfa Romeo Scalacci Stakes this Saturday with a final field barrier draw after 11 a.m. will be live on racing.com. Number one, Ball of Muscle. Joe Pride, the trainer, Craig Williams to take the ride. Two, Trekking, Jay Cummings, Kay McAvoy. Three, Bostonian, Tony Pike, Damian Lane. Four, Dispatch, Tony and Kelvin McAvoy, James McDonald. Rebel King, the WA sprinter, Darren McAuliffe, yet to have a jockey confirmed. Viridine, Jay Cummings, Hugh Bowman. Ashlaw for Dan McCarthy, Dee Stackhouse. Eighth is Bonds Away, Kieran Maher, David Eustace with Mark Zara to ride. And Booker, the Oakley Plate winner, Matt Allerton and Simon Zara. Dee Oliver to take the ride. There's only nine runners, but we've got a few Group 1 winners, Trekking, the Stradbroke winner, the Bostonian, a dual Group 1 winner, and Booker, an Oakley Plate winner, Duff. So nine runners to face the starter in the Alfa Romeo Scalacci Stakes.
Yeah, well, Godolphin giving themselves plenty of opportunities. They have plenty of runners in this Tab Everest, and Trekking could well be another one.
Yeah, well, I was thinking, you know, with the speed in the race, both in the Scalacci and probably in the Everest, a horse that can probably get back and blend a little bit, maybe Trekking or the Bostonian, would both, you know, run competitive in an Everest.
Yeah, they would do. They would do, for sure.
Yeah. Would any initial thought there, Dean, just listening to the field?
No, Andrew, it's a fascinating race. I really like Trekking's run at Moonee Valley, so I think he's on song for a big run.
Understand. Mate, we haven't got a lot of time, but take us through the other, are they capacity fields?
Well, the Caulfield Guineas is, we've got 16 and 3 emergencies. It's really stood up, the Ladbrokes Caulfield Guineas for 2019. I'll run through it quickly. Number one, Saddlecloth, Your Deal. Number two, the favourite, Dallasand, Hugh Bowman, galloped this morning at about 5:30 a.m. Hugh was on board, worked well, worked over 1,400 in 1:30, home in 23.6. With a partner of Nick Price's, so looks all on track. Three, Alligator Blood. Four is Kubrick, also worked very well this morning with Night's Watch on the course proper. Five is Super Steph. Six, The Holy One. Seven, Subadar. Eight, Skidore. Nine, Creator. 10, good luck to the race caller, Matt Hill, Rocker Bascarana. 11, Stand to Attention. 12, Conqueror. 13, Vegas Knight. 14, Eric the Eel. 15, Soul Patch. 16, Express Pass. A good story for Nick Ryan to have a runner in the Caulfield Guineas. His first runner, the emergency, number 17, Exeter. 18, the second emergency, Groundswell. And number 19, the third emergency, Serengeti. So Dallasdan will run a short price favourite, but a really competitive Caulfield Guineas with the likes of Alligator Blood and Kubrick.
Did he work in blinkers?
Who's that?
Dallasand, did he work in blinkers this morning? Do you know?
No, I didn't. I actually haven't watched the...
I believe he did, Duff. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll have those videos on our website this afternoon of all those gallops, so you can check in there and do your homework and let us know what you think.
Beautiful.
And what about the 1,000 guineas? How many there?
Well, it's fallen away a little bit, Andrew, the Schweppes 1,000 guineas. We're down to 11 runners. Number one is Liar, the Blue Diamond winner. M. Zara to take the ride. Two is Tenley, James Cummings. Three, Flit for Jay Cummings will start the favourite. Number four, Acting, paid the late entry. Number five, I Am Eloquent, a last start winner of the Jim Maloney. Six, Edwards Crown. Seven, Missile Mantra, it's the one that's had the red light on her head. Number eight, South Bank. Nine, Barbie Fox. 10, Emeralds. And 11, Affair to Remember. So Godolphin with a strong hand. They've got the top three, Liar, Tenley and Flit. And also some informed horses like I Am Eloquent and Acting, last start winners for Busted and Young, a really competitive field in 2019, Schweppes 1,000 guineas.
Righto, Josh, appreciate you coming on with those fields. We'll update with the barrier draws after 11 o'clock. Have a good week down there, mate.
Terrific. Happy racing to all.
Righto, Josh Rotter there from the Melbourne Racing Club. But it's been a different sort of show this morning, but we're still taking your calls, and it's Wayne, I think. It's Special Sauce. Good morning, Mr. Special.
G'day, boys. How you going on the show?
Good on you, mate. What can we do for you?
One quick question for Dean and one for Ron, if I may. Dean Uhud, when's Tony McAvoy's mayor going around next? I haven't seen it.
Uhud?
Uhud, yeah.
I think he's been retired.
Okay, yep. Well, that explains that. And for Ronnie, Craig Newitt, Froggy Newitt, he can win on a wooden rocking horse at the moment. He's riding in tremendous form. Why isn't he? If you see, I think he rode three at Kalgoorlie on Thursday or Friday. One of his rides on the last wall, so you've got to check, see it to believe it, is unbelievable ride. Why isn't he riding in one of the top areas, like in Melbourne, Sydney, or he'd kill it in Brisbane with Bossy coming down to Sydney?
Yeah, I just think he likes, he's spent his time in Melbourne, and he's a Tasmanian boy by heart. I think that's where he likes to live now, and just pick his way when he gets a decent ride. I think he's put his hand up for the ride on Dallas, and if he goes to the Cox Plate. So, yeah, look, it's his own decision to ride in Tasmania, but he gets around when he's required with his lightweight.
You have a look at that ride on the last waltz at Kalgoorlie on Friday. It was an absolute rip tearer.
I'll have a look at it on the computer.
Thanks, boys.
Good on you. Thank you, Special Sauce. Let's go to True Blue. They're all got nicknames this morning. How are you, True Blue?
John Williams. I'm good, thanks. How are you, mate?
Very well. What can we do for you?
Mate, first of all, it's good to have Dino back. Welcome back, Dino.
Thank you, True Blue.
And, Duff, I wanted to speak to you about Sharoa. His run on the weekend just looked too horrible to be true.
Awful. Yeah, no, awful. He was. That was a distance range that he should have shown improvement at. I'm saying he's not riding the way he wanted to hang before the turn. He nearly put something up the fence there when he was hanging in really badly. So that's not his go. I'd be interested. I think the
Nurse Bosk it was.
Yeah, he put him
Nashua
up the
Willa.
Yeah, and I think although he's going to get suspended here for a horse that was going nowhere, and then I see that it was just was more horse fault than jockey fault. He just wanted to hang and run into the rail. It's a sign the horse wasn't right.
Righto. Thanks, Bear. Thanks, Duff.
All right, mate.
And, Munzee, if I had a double on a horse that was scratched from the Melbourne Cup or, like, not nominated, that'll just go on to the other one that was in the other race?
If you bet in that pre-noms market and your horse didn't nom for the Melbourne Cup, yeah, it becomes a single.
Yep, all right. Thanks, mate.
But had you backed that same horse to win both races? And,
no.
Oh, right. Okay. Right. No, just thought I'd ask. Boys, Mystic Journey, definite Cox Plate.
Yep. All right. Thanks, mate.
Just
good on you. Thanks, True Blue.
Trinders.
Just right.
Mystic Journey's definitely going to the Cox Plate.
Okay,
all right, so we've had two announcements this morning that Tiako Shark going there and Mystic Journey going to the Cox Plate. It's all coming together for Moonee Valley on Saturday, October 26. Let's go to Carolyn. Morning, Carolyn.
Morning. Just curious about what you think Wolf's chances are of getting into the Melbourne Cup field. He's down in the order of entry at the moment. I'm not sure, maybe 70 or something like that. But he ran third in the Bart Cummings, didn't he? Now, Kings Will Dream won it, but he's not going to the Melbourne Cup, is he? He's going to the Cox Plate. So what do you think his chances of getting into the Melbourne Cup are?
He'd have to win the Lexus on Derby Day, I think. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Because it's a exemplary race. So he can't get in. Even if he won a race like the Geelong Cup, I don't think he'd get up high enough. So he'd have to win the Lexus on Derby Day.
So running third in the Bart Cummings won't move him up any?
It'll pass him past some ballot clauses, but no, it won't move him up anyway, no.
He sits there, Carolyn, at number 62 now after the weekend with the 50, but he 63rd, the horse just needs to win.
Win on Derby Day.
He has to win on Derby Day. Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Good on you, Carolyn. Righto. It's a minute to 10. So, Dean, do you want to introduce our next caller?
I believe we may have Kurt on the line. Good morning, Kurt.
Morning,
come
boys.
On.
How are you?
Oh, come on, Kurt. We've got to be a bit sharper than that when the Dino gives you an introduction.
Hello?
Yeah, Kurt, you're on air.
Oh, g'day, Andrew. How are you, mate?
I'm well, mate.
Good morning, Dino. How are you, brother?
please.
It's cut out on it.
Have you got him, Dean?
No, I haven't at the moment.
Okay. All right, I've got you, Kirk. Can everyone else hear? Righto, go for it. Now we can hear you.
Yeah, welcome back, Dino, mate. How are you?
Thank you, Kurt. I'm getting better. Thank you very much.
Good stuff, mate. Very good. Dino, I just want to ask you a few questions of recent stuff, so it's stuff that you'll know of if you can help us out, mate.
It has to be very recent.
Gunbauer.
No, it is. It's very recent. Dino, I like Prophet's Thumb in the Northwood Plume this weekend. I was just wondering if you have a know of horses that are in that race this weekend, because I can't find a field for it yet.
Well, the final field's not out yet, Kurt, but I would think Prophet Thumb would be a very, very good chance on the way she went last start. You're going to have the likelihood to say Merrill, who ran very well in the Moya. Nantali, who ran very well last week, whether she backs up Prophet Thumb's there. She's number 10 in order of entry, and she's beautifully ridden the other day, but she's pretty dominant late. So Resin's the other one there that would be a good chance. So that should be a really good winning chance, Kurt.
Yeah, I'll be backing her for sure as soon as the market comes out, if they're the sort of highlight horses that are amongst the field there. And Dino?
Yes, Kurt.
Mate, I know, Shadow Hero's got a mortgage on the Derby, but I've got this, mate, yesterday, I've been following this horse since it's been down there in Victoria, but it makes its way back and forth because it's from the Waller Yard in Relucent. Now, I know it hasn't won a race there yesterday, but it should have won there yesterday. I've backed this, Dino, at 51-1 and 13.50 in the Derby. Look, it's got the superimposed warning form. It's got acting the Caulfield Guineas prelude form that goes around on the weekend again. I mean, what do you reckon, Dino? It's not a far shot, is it?
Well, Chris Waller has won the Derby with a maiden, so shouldn't give up hope. I thought Ben Hintain should have won yesterday, but he certainly looks as though he'll stay, Kurt. That's one good thing.
And, Dino, I took 51-1 for Overkill as well. I mean, these are the kind of horses that... I know Shadow Hero's going to win it if it stays like this, but... Mate, 13 and how much did I get? And 13.50 the place for it, Dino. I mean, did you see it the other Sunday?
I did, yeah. It was good. But as you said, they've all got to get past Shadow Hero, so those place bets might be okay, Kurt.
All right, and Dino, one last one if I can. McEwen last Saturday. I love this horse, and it showed its best there on Saturday and absolutely annihilated him. Do you think any chance of coming down to Victoria for the Spring Carnival?
I don't know, Kurt. I know the horse, but I don't know if he's coming down for Melbourne. But he's a very very good competitive horse, but I don't know what he'd come down for if he did.
All right, and Dino, one for today, if you can tell me what you think of this. 7-1 this morning I got for Single Crown. Is that a G up or what?
What race, Kurt?
Race 2, number 6.
Race 2, number 6. Single Crown.
Stealing weed off blind chooks.
Rightio. Okay, I'll take your word for it. Ran well last start.
Do you rate it in the race, Dean?
It's got a good chance, Kurt. I thought the Matt Kamani horse ran very well on debut there. Signed, sealed, deliver. And if it beats that, that's probably the one to beat.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Two-horse race.
Kurt. Good on you, boy. Have a good week ahead. That's Kurt, our regular. Just taking it really to Dean. He's missed Dean over the last few months. He's on whoosh, Dean.
He's going to be hammered for a month.
Hoss.
Yeah. I'm readmitting myself to hospital after that.
You'll need a break after all this just to get the recovery from this morning.
Yeah, all that last 5 minutes, exactly.
If I could just butt in for a minute, guys, it's a very special day today, a very, very special day.
I
think we all should sing together.
Happy birthday, dear Andrew. Happy 70th.
Big fella's birthday today.
Yes, it is.
It's the only day of the year.
The gold card will be coming off the government too. We're reaching that milestone.
Free milestone of... Bought.
The candles will cost more than the cake. I'll give you the tip now.
Fire brigade's been called in.
Because there's no total fire ban, but otherwise we would have been in trouble.
Yeah, no, thank you, guys. Got to 10.04, and I thought I've nearly got through this, yes, we had to rely on Cossie. A very young 58 today, and I'm going to go out and enjoy 58. It with my wife today for lunch. She's going to buy me lunch today, so we're going to go and enjoy that.
I reckon Speedo George is out of crack at you if you're claiming 58.
Now, you just turn your microphone off. You've done your job.
Wound you back a bit, hot.
Off you go. We're going to wrap up with horses to follow here, guys. Duff, what have you got?
Very hard finding horses off a grand final meeting. Look, I just think to that Guineas field there. I'm going to be talking about having derby bets in Melbourne at 50-1. Kurt, have a close eye at Eric the Eels running the Guineas on Saturday. Mm. If he's hitting the line strongly, he could well be a derby horse. He's got He's got that Shadow Hero form from Queensland. He's a strong horse.
All I can say is the trainer's been really contacting me, very keen to get into the Guineas.
I like that horse.
Mm. That's Stuart Kendrick. So that's Eric the Eel going forward. What about you, Dean?
Not dropping off Miami Bound from Saturday, Andrew. I think just he drew inside in that Edward Manifold, and I think it forced them to ride her a little bit closer. I'd love to see them ride her quieter. Still think she's a really big chance, Miami Bound.
Off to the ethereal next run there. And what about you, Glenn?
Well, how many do you want? You could sit there and pick about, 10 out from Saturday. But I thought Handle the Truth went enormous in the last. I'm not subscribing to the fact that the Kosciuszko is a cut-and-dried event at the moment with, Victorum and Noble Boy. And a lot is going to be determined. And the other thing is, he's had the run now, Handle the Truth, and he's going to take a few on in this race that are going to be in the race first up.
Yeah, for sure. All right, that is it. A Tuesday edition of Punters Postmortem. Good to have you back, Dean, and we'll hear from you on Saturday.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Dean. Duff, we'll talk to you through the week as well, mate.
Yep, see you, Andrew.
Good on you. And same to you, Munns. You'll be a busy week. And something I should have mentioned, Glenn, along the road was Winx. We've got the Australian Racehorse of the Year Awards in Hobart on Thursday night, where you'd feel she'll be winning the major water again. But to win a Sport Australia Award, the presentation to be also held on Thursday night, Glenn, at a function in Melbourne. But to win the Spirit of Sport Award does tell us the impact that this mare had while she was racing.
Yes, a magnificent achievement. And, everything she goes in, she'd win the raffle at the local pub, Winx, seriously, if she bought a ticket in it. Yeah. So congratulations to all the owners there. And I just had a look, Andrew. We've got 118 nominations for Tony Campbell Day on Friday at Canberra. 9 races scheduled there, including the feature event is the TAB Federal Tony Campbell Memorial Cup. And we've got 18 nominated for that race there. So a big day planned for Canberra this Friday, and acceptances will be taken tomorrow morning.
Good on you. Thanks, Glenn. Hear you through the week, mate.
See you, mate.
That's our Tuesday edition of Punters Postmortem. The big man's in next with a full preview for today's racing at Goulburn. And then we've got On the Pace and Going Greyhounds. We've also got the big program, the Whip Around at 11. So stay tuned to Sky Sports Radio.